Amen. Thank you, Andy. Thank you for your prayers. Well, good morning. As Andy said, my name is Cody. I'm one of the pastors here at Blue Ash Community Church, and thank you for joining us online. I do want to direct your attention to our disciples page on baccdisciples.com. There you'll find an electronic version of our reading plan, and this starts our reading plan for the year, so it's a great place to go to. So you'll have a little graphic there that you can click on, and also we'll have a little thing that you can click on for a Here Journal card. That is just a tool that we're offering you all to have as you guys read in your reading plan. It just kind of goes over how to journal through your reading plan. It's called the Here Journal. It's also in the Disciples Bible. And so if you don't have a Disciples Bible, please let us know. We would love to get one in your hands, which you can go to BACC Disciple and fill out information to where you can get a Bible. So all that to say that we are starting a new series called the Anticipated Arrival. We're going to be starting in the book of Matthew, and Matthew starts to proclaim the coming of Jesus. He starts with Jesus' story of how he comes here through the genealogy and the works of Christ. Yeah, he proclaims that he is what the Old Testament was anticipating. He proclaims that he's the anointed one who would enter history to bring redemption and deliverance to all people. And to get a better understanding of Matthew, I have a little video. Please watch.
The Gospel according to Matthew. It's one of the earliest official accounts about Jesus of Nazareth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. The book itself is anonymous, but the earliest reliable tradition links it to Matthew the tax collector, who was one of the 12 apostles that Jesus appointed, and he actually appears within the book itself. For about 30 to 40 years, the apostles orally taught and passed on their eyewitness accounts about Jesus, along with his teachings that they had all memorized. And Matthew has then collected and arranged all these into this amazing tapestry and designed the book to highlight certain themes about Jesus. In this video, we're just going to cover the first half of the book. Specifically, Matthew wants to show how Jesus is the continuation and fulfillment of the whole biblical story about God and Israel. That Jesus is the Messiah from the line of David, that he is a new authoritative teacher like Moses, and not only that, Jesus is God with us, or in Hebrew, Emmanuel. And Matthew's designed this book with an introduction and then a conclusion, and these act like a frame around five clear sections right here in the center, each of which concludes with a long block of Jesus' teaching. Now, this design is very intentional, and it's amazing. Just watch how this works. Chapters 1 through 3, they set the stage by attaching Jesus' story right onto the storyline of the Old Testament scriptures. So Matthew opens with a genealogy about Jesus that highlights how he is from the messianic line of the son of David, and he's a son of Abraham. That means he's going to bring God's blessing to all of the nations. After that, we get the famous story about Jesus' birth and how all of the events fulfilled the Old Testament prophetic promises, that the nations would come and honor the Messiah, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, but even more than that, Jesus' conception by the Holy Spirit, his name Emmanuel, all these work together to show that Jesus is no mere human. He is God with us, God become human. So you can see two of Matthew's key themes right here in the introduction. He's from the line of David. He's Emmanuel. But Matthew also wants to show how Jesus is a new Moses. So like Moses, Jesus came up out of Egypt. He passed through the waters of baptism, and he entered into the wilderness for 40 days. And then Jesus goes up onto a mountain to deliver his new teaching. So through all of this, Matthew is claiming that Jesus is the promised greater than Moses figure who's going to deliver Israel from slavery. He's going to give them new divine teaching. He's going to save them from their sins and bring about a new covenant relationship between God and his people.
I want to encourage you, if you've never done the Bible Project, to go ahead and check them out. They have great videos. That video is actually 8 minutes long. You saw 2 minutes and 45 seconds. It's a great refresher if you've kind of walked through Matthew or an introduction to Matthew. So please check them out. Just like the video said, Jesus taught from a mountain like Moses. We will actually be looking at the Beatitudes, which is going to be in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be from verses 1 to 10, and we're going to look at the Beatitudes. That's in your Disciples Bible, 14:18. And so if you have a Disciples Bible, please turn to 14:18. If you do not, please let us know. Again, you go to bacbible.com and fill out that information. We'd love to give you one of these Bibles. And the Beatitudes this morning is going to search our hearts. They will tell us how we live out our lives and guide us into do some hard things this morning. So let's look at Matthew 5, starting in verse 1. When he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." Let's pray. God, we ask that you guide us. Right now, this morning, guide us through the Beatitudes. Point out our shortcomings. Draw us closer to the grace. Draw us closer to the cross. Draw us closer to your Spirit, which lives now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to look at the first bless. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. The Greek word for this bless is an adjective, and it's characterized actually by happiness in the light of being favored by divine grace. So we're going to talk about that happiness in divine grace this morning. So that's what blessed means. But why divine grace? Well, R.C. Sproul, who's an author and a former pastor, he passed away last year, says this about divine grace, and I love it. Talking about grace, it is not our good works that secure or rescue, but only the works of Christ. It is his merit, not ours. We don't merit anything. He grants us his merit by grace, and we receive it only by faith. The essence of grace is its voluntary free bestowal. As soon as it's requirement, it's no longer grace. As soon as it becomes a requirement, it's no longer grace. And it's bestowed to us, freely bestowed to us. So we're highly favored by being poor in spirit, for our happiness rests in heaven. So, but how do we become poor in spirit? To be poor in spirit means a complete absence of pride, a complete absence of self-assurance and self-reliance. We have nothing to bring to Jesus, in meaning of we have nothing to offer to him in substance, works, merit, that would make him love us more. The more we have the mindset of our dependency on his mercy and highly favored by divine grace, the more we'll become poor in spirit. Question I have to ask myself, and I'll ask us this morning, is this, is are we looking within ourselves trying to earn that happiness? Or are we aware that we cannot earn God's favor? Does our happiness depend on our circumstances, what we have, what we do, who we hang out with? Or better yet, in other words, is our happiness dependent on us? Or is it Jesus? Jesus has God's favor. He is God's son. He extends that favor to those who are poor in spirit. So when we think about a new year, when we think about 2022, will happiness be dependent on whether we hit our goals, our resolutions? Let's go to the next beatitude. It says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." You probably don't think 2022, the first word you think of is mourning, right? See, mourning is not something that is popular. There's a philosophy in our world which is summed up by, forget your troubles, YOLO. You only live once. Do everything you can to not face things that are uncomfortable. You do you. The person who mourns is somebody who truly understands what sin is and how it draws us away from the goodness of God. See, sin is the choices that we make deliberately or non-deliberately that does not meet the standard that is written in God's word. Sin, in its literal meaning, is missing the mark as an arrow to a target, missing the mark. So when we sin, we miss the mark, and the mark is God's standard, which is written in this word. So a deeper understanding of sin brings us actually to a deeper understanding of joy, because we are comforted by the cross through the Spirit of God. For it is within our recognition of sin that draws us to grace, which is only given by Christ Jesus. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. And they will be comforted by the cross through the living Lord in the Spirit of God. Let's look at our next beatitude this morning for verse 5. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. We are highly favored by being humbled because our happiness is in the new earth which is coming. The world's idea of success is the more that you assert yourself and the more that you express yourself and the more that you organize yourself, you show off your strength, the more likely you will succeed or get ahead. Kind of leaves out a key word, humble. And humility comes from us actually understanding that, again, we bring nothing before the throne of God. And we are helpless in the face of the demands of the gospel and the fullness of God. And humility in its biblical terms means counting others more significant than yourself. And humility is not natural because we are more likely counting ourselves more significant than others. Our New Year's resolutions is typically what? Self-improvement. So it's not natural to us to be humble. It's naturally for us to be sinful, but not so much filled with humility. See, Jesus came in the likeness of man. He humbled himself in the likeness of man. He was not proud of himself in essence of the boastings. He was boasting in the Father. In fact, he came to do the Father's will. Jesus is our example of humility. So for us to come and be humble means for us to be finished with ourselves and focus on our desires on Christ. Question, do we want 2022 on self or others? Are we putting others before ourselves like Jesus did, lovingly sacrificing himself? Are we willing to take the risk and put the needs of others before our own 2022? Let's look at the next beatitude. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And this filled is actually in Greek means satisfied. For they will be satisfied. Righteousness means to have a right standing in the sight of God. Righteousness is obtained by obedience in everything that God calls us to do. And there's a false promise that the world offers us, especially when we want to be filled or be satisfied. And it thwarts happiness. It thwarts happiness because we can never be truly happy in the worldly standards. And most of the happiness is a search of pleasure. Everything that we do tends to be out of pleasure or desires. We tend to make our goals and objectives to what? To fulfill a happiness, a desire. But see, the difference which the Beatitudes speak of, because Christ is in it, and what's different between what Christ speaks of and what the world does is that one is filled with the Spirit of God and the other one is through the spirit of flesh. See, through Christ's sacrifice, those who confess him as Lord will be filled which means they were hunger and thirst and something that will never elude them, but captivate them and satisfy them, which happens to make Christians, well, what happens when Christians aren't satisfied? It means that we've forgotten what the gospel brings. We've allowed ourselves to be captivated by another love, typically in worldly pleasures. And happiness in the world is never promised in Scripture. The gospel is the gracious, glorious promise of God to all who seek to be filled with His righteousness, His right standing, for they would be satisfied. But why is righteousness better than worldly happiness? Because one is eternally satisfying and the other one's a flickering in the night. Happiness is turned on and turned off, typically by our own selfish desires, by the world describes happiness, and systems describes happiness. So if we are truly looking to be satisfied this year in 2022, are we going to continue in empty pursuits that will not satisfy our souls, or be satisfied in the grace of God? Let's look at the next one. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. How can one be merciful? And what is mercy? Like, what's the difference between mercy and grace? Mercy really means a sense of relief of suffering, of relief from suffering. And see, if you are merciful, you have mercy, which means you have experienced the mercy of God that gives you the ability to be merciful. Mercy requires us to look at our sinful lives and praise God for Jesus, because while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So when someone sins against us, through the mercy of God, we have compassion for those who sinned against us because we have been there. So we desperately want the mercy of God to relieve us from our sins. So when someone sins against us, we should want them to be desperately relieved from their sin. And with mercy, there's always a wrongdoing. Somebody wronged someone, and that person is called to be merciful, which is probably my hardest beatitude, to be honest, because I like justice. If you wronged me, you get punishment, right? You do the crime, you pay the time. And so my initial thought, which is sinful, typically becomes wrathful rather than compassion. And this happens to me because I forget my sins before a holy, just God. And usually God reminds me that I truly don't want fairness, because in fairness, I deserve punishment. So therefore, God calls me to extend mercy, to seek out pardons rather than punishment, because I know who Christ is and what He has done for me. So my question for all of us this morning is there someone in our lives that comes to mind that maybe in this year we're supposed to extend mercy? Even though we've been wronged, we extend mercy, for we know that Christ has been merciful to us, and the cross proves that. Let's look at the next one. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Psalms say that the heart is the wellspring of life. It is the center of our personality. It drives our decisions. It is the fountain with everything that we choose comes from. The heart guides all of us, all parts of us. It is the thing that drives and motivates all of our being. So those who have a pure heart will see the face of God. How? How can that happen? And when we talk about the face of God, where's that at? Typically, we talk about God and we speak of heaven, or maybe, you know, the new heaven and new earth. Just a side note, heaven is what it is because God dwells there. And are we satisfied with His dwelling? So how do we get to heaven? How do we prepare for the face of God? How do we be satisfied truly with Him and Him alone? so that we can have a pure heart. It comes through confession, repentance by the Spirit of God. Romans 8, 16 through 17 says this, "The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirits that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." We are co-heirs with Christ through the Spirit of God who testifies to God about us. The Spirit of God purifies us, and we call this sanctification. The Spirit of God makes us holy. He separates us from our sinful nature, which we call the flesh, and the Spirit guides us to the Father who dwells in heaven. We can have the Spirit of God through a relationship with God. We'll get to that on our next steps. Let's look at the next beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And we are highly favored through divine grace when our happiness is being a child of God. And a child of God seeks out peace. Why are peacemakers blessed? Well, that's because they're like absolutely no one else. They are different because they are children of God. So why do Christians struggle with peacemaking? Probably because of the Beatitudes just before this, right? Merciful, humble, poor in spirit, which is why we struggle with peacemaking, because we typically can't get through those first. So until the heart of man is changed, Christians will never solve their problem by trying to manipulate something or someone. See, we must go to the source of the problem, which is the heart, and the other Beatitudes touch on the heart. A peacemaker is ready to humble themselves, and they are ready to do anything and everything for the glory of God because they're God's children. The Apostle Paul says this, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Not just the people you like, not just your neighbors, not just your coworkers or your family. Everyone, as it depends on you, be peaceful. When the angels came and pronounced Jesus to the shepherds in Luke 2, they gave him a title, the Prince of Peace, which is quoted from Isaiah 9:6. And we believe that Jesus is the very image of God, and his glory is in God's glory is within Jesus. And we learn that from the Transfiguration, which we'll talk about later this year. So if Jesus is the embodiment of God's glory and his title is Prince of Peace, then what brings peace to people? Jesus. If we are to be peacemakers, we are to point others to God's glory, which resides in Jesus. Jesus was the ultimate peacemaker. For he settled what was separating man from God, and that was wrath. And he bore God's wrath so that humanity and God will be at peace. And our last beatitude, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. We are highly favored through our persecution because we know where happiness resides, and that is in the kingdom of God. Persecution then looked like physical punishment, flogging. Sometimes you were thrown in prison or even death itself. Persecution today or in our context in the USA may look like bullying or being cast out of groups. Sometimes we may lose businesses by choosing biblical values over deceit and lies. Persecution is a direct assault to our faith. We pursue Christ, and in that pursuit may experience injustice, and that injustice is persecution. But here's the reality. God did not spare his own son from persecution, and he was the Prince of Peace. If we are Christians and we say, "I want to be a peacemaker," God's not going to spare us from that reality too. We are called to imitate Christ. We are called to be the light of Christ in this world. And light exposes darkness. And darkness will always hate light, for it exposes what was not seen. The world can be a dark and lonely place. And Christ says that as if it hates me, it will hate you. But fear not and worry not, because Christ has overcome the world, and darkness, all of it, will soon be exposed. I hope the Beatitudes this morning search your heart as it has searched mine. And I hope it not only just encourage you, but challenge you to see yourself in the light of Christ and draw you to his throne of grace. And if we are called Christians, we cannot live out the Beatitudes without Jesus being revealed to us through the Spirit of God, drawing us closer to Jesus every day. And if you're wanting more, if you're wanting to practice or be in the Beatitudes, well, I have some next steps for you. You go to bacclive.com and start filling out the Connect card. And so the first next step I have is accept Jesus Christ for the first time. Again, the Beatitudes cannot be done unless Jesus resides in you. And that is done through confession and repentance of your sins to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This requires you to confess on your dependency on his mercy and grace and truth and his perfection and not ours. And through that, if you are a Christ follower, my challenge for you then is to habitually practice the Beatitudes. Yes, make it a habit to practice the Beatitudes. So the first one, how can I be poor in spirit? How can we be poor in spirit? It's thinking about God and thinking of others, the greatest commandment. Love God and love people. Number two, how can I mourn? How can we mourn? It's repenting for the certain habits that are not honoring to God. How can we be humble? It's choosing to put others before ourselves. How can we seek out righteousness? Well, it's being faithful with the little things of choosing what is right for the betterment of those around you. What is right? What is holy? What is just? What is noble? Choose those things. Practice those things. Philippians 4:8. How can we be merciful? Well, it's thinking of how the ways we sin and recognize how God has spared us from punishment. We should spare others from punishment. We are called to forgive, for we've been forgiven. How can we have this pure of heart? It's repenting daily for our sinful habits that dwell in our hearts and asking God to remove those and draw us closer to grace. Which, how can I be a peacemaker? It's through obeying Jesus, in that loving him and loving people daily. How do we endure persecution for righteousness' sake? By living out the Beatitudes in obedience to God and asking him to give us the strength to shine for him, for he is the light. None of this can be done on our own. We need the Spirit of God, we need the Word of God, and we also need community. So our next step is to receive prayer. If there's somebody in your room right now and you're struggling with one of these Beatitudes, I just ask that you ask for them to pray that this week the Spirit of God will give you the strength to walk in them. So if it's a child, if it's a student, if it's your spouse, whatever, I ask that you ask somebody in the room. And if you don't have anybody in your home, you're alone, then I would ask that you would go to BACC Live and there's a prayer section there. Type in your prayer and so that we will love to pray for you this week. Do not think that this can be done alone, because it can't. We need each other. I need you to pray for me to be in that. And our memory verse says that he said to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. And what beauty to start 2022 with that confession. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. At this time, we would ask that we usually do our offering. There's five ways to give. You can give our Church Center app. You can go to our website. You can do BACC Give. There's BACC Live. There's a section there. You can hit Give. But if you feel led to, we ask that you would give. As Andy said, all of our efforts goes to Blue Action and World Out. So thank you so much for taking this time and being with us this morning. I'm going to pray, and Craig's going to lead us in worship. God, thank you so much for your heart. Lord, we pray that you would guide us by your Spirit to practice out the Beatitudes, Lord. And thank you for your grace and mercy and truth that you've sent through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray.